7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and it is going to be the late round sleepers, which includes rounds 11 to 16. Yes, we are actually going to be talking about players that should be drafted in those rounds. And
good players. Players that can make your team. Players that Flyer Wire and 649 podcast on the QW4 four-letter network, whatever it may be, don't even know about. They don't even know who these guys are.
On that note, Tim, how are you doing?
I am fired up, Joshy. How are you, brother?
Doing good, Tom. How are you?
I am fantastic. It's good to be here with the two of you. Both of you are looking good tonight.
I'm going to take these pants off. I took them off earlier this week. I'm going to take them off again.
Again, guys, we are Pony Cake Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter, at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tom, at Pony Cake Tim. Check us out on our website, ponycakesports.com. You guys can always email us, ponycakesports@gmail.com. Also, check out our buddies, Cleat Geeks, at cleatgeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter, at Cleat Geeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. And they do a bunch of good articles, football, baseball, basketball, wrestling, all that good stuff. Tim, what do they got going on this week?
They have the Thumb Wrestling State Championships for North Dakota.
The Thumb Wrestling?
State Championships for North Dakota.
Is that the U-17 or
no,
the...
No, it's an open tournament.
Okay.
Open weight.
One last shout out. Please take a look at DraftingSleepers.com. It's a social network for fantasy sports. Visit Drafting Sleepers today after the show. Sign up for free. You guys can make a free account. Talk about fantasy sports. They got fantasy football, baseball, hockey, everything. So if you're really into fantasy, go to that website right there, draftingsleepers.com, and check it out.
You're going to love this episode because it's rounds 11 through 17, whatever the heck it may be. Drafting Sleepers is all about that life. Go on there, say, hey, you know what? We listened to the Pony Keg Sports Podcast. Tim, Josh, and Tom sounded so damn good that we are going to come here and we are going to debate what they had said.
All right, and then before we get to the show, and I don't like to clutter it up with a bunch of stuff in the beginning.
We don't do that shit, Josh, so this better be good.
It is. So,
we're not like those other guys.
No, that's true. So we are going to be a part of a pro-am that is with the Sleeper Wire podcast. It's called the Sleeper Wire Pro-Am.
Continue.
Yeah, so it's with the Sleeper Wire podcast. We were invited with by Professor Chris, right, Tom?
Yep.
So basically what
it is... Is he an actual professor or is he a fraud just like their podcast?
He's actually a professor. So.
Professor of what?
Math.
Okay.
So we are going to be in the pro-am. It's a bunch of other podcasts and some fans that are listening. It's for a good cause. One of their good friends. A lot of people are donating to them. Everything that they get, every dollar that they get, they donate to Rob's cause. So if you guys get time, go to their website, sleeperwire.com, check it out. And if you guys can, donate to the cause. If not, then just listen to them, listen to us, and we're going to be a part of a big league. It's going to be two divisions, and we're going to beat the shit out of everybody. So that's all I got to say about that.
I am all about everyone listening, going, and donating to Rob's cause. Listen, obviously, anytime life tries to get you down, someone gets sick, it is very important that we all pull together in this crazy fantasy world and we help one another. So everyone donate to that. With that being said, my goodness gracious, Josh, I am so fired up to get into this league with these other quote-unquote fantasy podcasts. Sound like Forrest Gump talking about football. They don't know what the hell they are saying. We are going to walk in there. I'm going to take off my jeans. I'm going to do a little dance. We are going to draft whoever we want. We are going to trade rake everyone in the entire league. And we are going to roll into the fantasy football championships and win that. And then everyone, Tire Wire, 574, whoever the hell these chumps are, we are going to dominate. And Pony Keg Sports will be the world champions of the fantasy world. Woo!
That is well said. And, yeah, I don't know how to follow that up. Tom, how do you How do you want to follow that up?
Got nothing.
You almost just broke my goddamn computer with yelling that loud into the speakers.
I'm fired up. I'm ready to take these guys on. You know, I'm tired of the nonchalant, the commercials every 5 seconds, and listen, oh, they're doing these commercials for, I hope it's all going to Rob's cause. It better all be going to, they have 45 minutes worth of commercials, so they better be doing that also. Rob's cause can be making some money. If that's the case, I'm cool with it. But beyond that, no one should be waiting 25 minutes in order to get some fantasy football advice, and that is why we are here. I'm done with this. Be ready, be on the lookout, and hear about Pony Keg Sports going undefeated throughout this chump of a league.
All right. Well, with that being said, let's get into it right away. Let's talk about our sleepers. Again, rounds 11 through 16, our deep round guys. Tom, do you want to kick it off with following Tim on that? What a rant that was.
I will go first. My first late round sleeper is running back Marlon Mack from the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, he is being undrafted based on ESPN's ADP. You know, Marlon Mack, he's a rookie running back right now, and he's in my eyes the primary backup to Frank Gore. Frank Gore is 34 years old. That's almost like a dinosaur out there playing football. You don't really see that too often, a starting running back in the NFL who's 34 years old. Frank Gore has that set role in the high-powered Indianapolis Colts offense, and I think Marlon Mack is going to have a set role as well with a healthy Frank Gore. Put Mack's college tape on, and you could see that type of athlete that he really is. He's a good chance to lead the Colts running back core in receptions this year and be a true weapon out of the backfield for the Colts. They haven't had an explosive running back coming out of the backfield like Marlon Mack since Andrew Luck has been there, and this is only going to help that offense out. Marlon Mack, big-time upside, and even with a healthy Frank Gore, he has that role, and he has a chance to be fantasy relevant, especially in PPR leagues.
Yeah, it's funny. Every time we talk about Frank Gore, he gets another year older, right? And he is still a fantasy-relevant player. But Marlon Mack is so much younger. They drafted a running back. That is him. And Frank Gore cannot be drinking out of the fountain of youth forever. So I don't know if Marlon Mack is going to be the guy to replace Frank Gore, but he could sure take a good amount of carries from him and could be fantasy-relevant this year.
I believe when we broke down the Indianapolis Colts I don't even know how many weeks ago, I said that I truly do believe that Marlon Mack is going to get a good amount of carries, minimum 40%. I've been high on him since the Colts drafted him, thought it was a great idea. Like both of you have alluded to, Frank Gore only has so much time left, and the Colts are looking towards the future. So regardless of what Frank Gore does this year, Marlon Mack is going to get his touches. So I like that pick, Tom.
I'm going to go next, and I'm going to go with a running back as well. And at first I had Terrence West, and I'm going to change that up because I've looked at it over and over again.
That's a good idea, dummy.
And I'm going to go with Devonta Booker out of the Broncos. And if you guys have listened to our last episode with the Denver Broncos, you guys know that I'm all about Booker. I don't think that Jamaal Charles is anything on that team. C.J. Anderson will probably start off as the starter to start the year, but I think Booker is the one to own. You look where he's getting drafted right now, and it is pretty much either late-round flyer or it is going to be an undrafted player. And I think for him, being undrafted is a slap in the face for the most part. He was getting a lot of love in the preseason last year, and he was the leading point scorer in fantasy football for the Denver Broncos running back core last year. So, with that being said, I think that Booker should be drafted at least, and he's definitely going to outperform his ADP for the most part.
You know, I don't know how I feel about that, Josh. I do like Devonta Booker, but I do think C.J. Anderson is still going to have his role, as I mentioned in our last show, that I feel like if the Broncos are smart, they're going to do more of a thunder and lightning. You know, take the pressure off C.J. Anderson. Booker's going to get his touches, but it should still be a split backfield. Both guys can rush, but both guys can also catch the ball out of the backfield. I don't hate the pick. I don't love the pick.
I really have no faith in C.J. Anderson staying healthy. And I really don't have much faith in Jamaal Charles even making the Denver Broncos roster. So the Devontae Booker pick, it's great in my eyes, especially if he's going undrafted. If you're able to get this guy in the 15th or 16th round, have him be your running back 5 or 6, absolute steal. There is a very, very good chance that Devontae Booker is sometime this year the lead dog in that Denver system. And they have an improved O-line. They're going to try to run the football, especially with their lack of having an elite quarterback. So the Devontae Booker as a late-round sleeper, excellent job, Josh.
Thank you.
Josh, before I give you my pick, what's our time right now? Where are we at?
We are at 10 minutes and 36 seconds.
Oh. 10 minutes and 36 seconds. We have already given you two players here at Pony Keg Sports. Some people are only wrapping up their commercials at this point, but you know what? We are going to move on to player number three. And you know what? You guys have both gone with running backs. I am going to start my
with a kicker.
Late sleepers. No, not with a kicker, Tom, but with a quarterback. I'm going to go with Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco being drafted in early in the 12th round, somewhere around 148th, 149th overall. And what I will tell you about him, with the weapons that have been added and, you know, a second year for Mike Wallace with Joe Flacco, the addition of Jeremy Maclin, Breshad Perriman has been called to, you know, finally make that step. And then you add in there the Terrence West and Kenneth Dixon combo. If those guys can stay healthy once Dixon returns from suspension, I am high on Kenneth Dixon. Kenneth Dixon, I feel like, has a Jay Ajayi type future where he's going to finally figure everything out and be brought along the right way. That defense was built up this offseason with what the Ravens were able to do in the draft. And Joe Flacco is the type of guy who's kind of often overlooked. Okay, so he had over 4,000 yards passing last year, too many interceptions, but that's because he didn't really have anyone to throw to. He didn't really have, he had Mike Wallace was the guy in Baltimore last year. That's it. If Mike Wallace and Jeremy Maclin can work together and Breshad Perriman can make that step, a late round draft pick if you need a quarterback, I'm all about Joe Flacco.
I remember last year, and I said Joe Flacco would be my bust of the year for that division, and you guys all laughed at me. And now I'm going to laugh at you, Tim.
I don't think he was a bust.
And he finished quarterback 20. He finished quarterback 20 last year. It was a terrible year for him. And yeah, he had a couple games that were pretty decent, but he had some games that were 6 points, 11 points, 8 points. Not very good. Finished number 20 on the year. But with the addition of Danny Woodhead, with Kenneth Dixon coming back after week 4, with Terrence West being able to run the ball, and we have Maclin on the team, we have Perriman, who we, again, don't know what we have out of him. I like the possibilities for Joe Flacco, but honestly, I'm not going to worry about Joe Flacco right now.
Yeah, pretty much what you said, Josh. The weapons that Baltimore has added is nice, and that's the reason why in the past week on ESPN, Joe Flacco's is being drafted 21 spots earlier than he was last week. So a lot of people are reading into this, but really there's 20 quarterbacks I'd rather have above Joe Flacco. Most likely I will not be drafting this dude, but yeah, if you're in a 18 if you have 18 rounds in your draft, or if you like to wait extremely deep on quarterbacks, like, Flacco is a guy you could target, probably get him in the last round and feel pretty good about it.
They came out today and said, I can't remember who it was exactly, but there was rumors out there today, yesterday, I don't know what day it was, but that Danny Woodhead is the most explosive weapon in the backfield since Ray Rice.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, and I completely agree with that.
Add him to the already, I think, great combo of Terrence West and Kenneth Dixon. They have some weapons. I think they're going to be a very dangerous team, especially when you look at what's going on in the AFC East.
Yeah, I've drafted two teams
North.
Already.
Oh, AFC North, I'm sorry.
I've drafted two teams already, and Danny Woodhead is on both of my teams.
You know, you have the Cincinnati Bengals, who I think are going to take a dramatic step back. You have the Cleveland Browns, who are still rebuilding. And then you have the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are still probably the favorites of that division. But I feel like the Ravens are going to be able to compete. They don't have the worst schedule out of, you know, they don't have a terrible schedule. And Joe Flacco has proven that, you know, given time, last year, listen, 4,300 yards last year, the most of his career in any given season. If he can cut down on those interceptions, even by five, he has the potential to be a top 12 quarterback.
Let me ask you guys this. The two quarterbacks that are getting drafted pretty similarly. We have Joe Flacco, who's being drafted right now as the 22nd quarterback. And we have Carson Palmer, who's getting drafted as the 20th quarterback. If you had to choose 16-team league, you had to choose one of them, who would you rather go with?
I'd take Carson Palmer.
I probably would as well.
Yeah, even though I am all about that Joe Flacco life right now, I think he's going to have a great year, I still think Carson Palmer has a much higher ceiling.
I agree. All right, Tom.
My second guy is wide receiver Zay Jones. Right now he's being drafted 137th overall and wide receiver number 55 off the board. Normally, I am not a big fan of relying on those rookie wide receivers in fantasy football. It normally doesn't pan out, and it's normally a huge disaster. You can just ask Tim.
Excuse me?
It normally takes a bit of time for a rookie wide receiver to become reliable and even to be a legit full-time starter for their NFL football team. Well, Zay Jones is going to start right away for the Buffalo Bills, and he's going to be a weapon for them. In all honesty, they don't have anyone else. Look, Andre Holmes, Corey Brown, Walter Powell, Jeremy Butler, Rod Streeter. That's his competition right now to be starting. And I think it's clear-cut that Zay Jones is the most talented wide receiver out of that group. He's the most polished. He's just a better overall athlete than all those guys I just listed. The Bills don't have the greatest system in the world for wide receivers. They like to run the football a lot, but I do not have much faith in one Sammy Watkins to stay healthy all year, and I think Zay Jones is going to put up quality numbers this year and have a chance to be a wide receiver 3 in all formats.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, Tom. Is it possible? Yes. I can't rely on the Buffalo Bills. I don't like what they've done in the offseason. Bringing in Zay, who you guys are much higher on than I am, and I'm not here to trash him, but I just don't like what they're bringing. The biggest benefit to your point that they're going to have is they're probably going to be throwing the ball a lot because they're going to be coming from behind quite a bit. Obviously, they have the Patriots there in the AFC East. They have the Miami Dolphins. I feel like they're worlds behind both of those teams, and then they're probably at least a little bit better than the New York Football Jets. With that being said, I am not completely sold on Zay Jones like you guys are, but I will say, I hope that you guys are right. I like Zay Jones quite a bit. I loved all his college tape. I thoroughly enjoyed watching all his film, so I hope he is very successful in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm a big Zay Jones believer. I remember we were talking about it when we were watching the Combine, the Senior Bowl, all that stuff, and at first, I'm not a huge fan and a huge believer in his landing spot with the Buffalo Bills, but at the same time, we look at what Sammy Watkins was able to do when he's healthy. I just don't think, like you said, that Sammy Watkins will be healthy, and that's why I think that Zay Jones would be a perfect, I don't want to say replacement, but he would fit nicely in there.
My biggest concern for Zay is what happens when the wheels fall off. Right? What happens when LeSean McCoy isn't playing every day and he's injured in and out, or this is the end of his career? Because that day's coming. We don't know if it's this year, but that day's coming sooner rather than later. What happens when Sammy Watkins isn't there? What happens when he's the only guy? To me, this year, I see him on the Quincy Enunwa level that Quincy was last year. There has to be a guy, right? There has to be someone. So he's going to see some of those targets. Quincy had some success last year, and I've targeted him as someone. Listen, the Jets are going to have to throw the ball this year. It'll probably be to him. I'm not saying he doesn't have a future. I just see this year with how much of a mess the Bills have the potential to be, I don't like it.
I mean, I understand your point, Tim. I get it. But at the same time, Zay Jones was at, East Carolina, right?
Yep.
And he was the guy there. He was the guy.
Oh, for sure.
So that's why I understand what you're saying, but I don't understand. So if McCoy is hurt and he's not playing, I feel still fairly comfortable that the offense can go through Zay Jones. It's crazy that we're talking about it like that, or I'm saying it like that, because this is a rookie wide receiver. It's a quarterback with Tyrod Taylor. But at the same time, you have a great running back in McCoy. And I just feel like if McCoy goes down, which I don't think he will, but I think he's a good enough wide receiver that the offense can run through.
He's a good enough wide receiver when his team's playing the Temples of the world, the University of Central Florida's of the world, the University of Houston, Connecticut, whatever it may be. I'm not trying to downplay those schools. They have some talent on those schools, but this is a whole nother level. What he's going to be able to do against NFL cornerbacks, NFL safeties, he's not the biggest of guys. And while I do believe he's talented, I just don't know as a rookie wide receiver that he's going to be able to carry the weight of Buffalo, New York on his shoulders.
For me, Zay Jones is, if you're looking for rookie production for a receiver, he is the safest bet for me this year. You look at Corey Davis, Tennessee. They don't pass the football a lot. And look at all the mouths there are to feed there. Look at all the new additions they have. You got the Delanie Walker, Rashard Matthews, Eric Decker, and you got Corey Davis. So there's a lot of mouths to feed there. You go to the Mike Williams, tons of mouths to feed in San Diego, or L.A., the L.A. Chargers. You got Keenan Allen, Tyrell Williams, Hunter Henry, Antonio Gates, Melvin Gordon. Tons of mouths to feed there. And with Zay Jones, you got Sammy Watkins, LeSean McCoy. That's it. And then you got Zay Jones. He's going to be able to carve himself out a niche right away, in my eyes, and be a productive number two for that team. And, yeah, Tim, you could say he didn't produce against the greatest competition in the world, but the competition he did face, he destroyed the most prolific wide receiver of all time in the FCS. Better numbers than anyone else in the history of college football, and Zay Jones did that.
The biggest question was about his speed. Did he have the speed? He came out and ran a 4.45, which was a lot better than what everybody thought he was going to do. Yep. Not a blazing 40, but a very, very good 40.
Must have been taking pre-show.
Must be.
All right, Josh, I'm going to jump in front of you.
Okay, go
that was
ahead.
A lot, that was a lot of time on Zay.
It was a lot of time on Zay. But it's an interesting topic. I mean, whatever. I'm going to go with someone that... A guy on Twitter, someone we've done a mock draft with before. His name's Devin, or on Twitter, @JumperLikeClay. Cute nickname, buddy. One Joe Williams. Very interesting topic to me. That is my running back to watch. He's being undrafted in a lot of leagues right now. He is the backup, soon-to-be starter, behind one Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde is... What else can you say about Carlos Hyde? He's had some success. He was, I believe, a top 10 running back last year, correct?
He was top 15 at least. 18.
Nevertheless, someone who the organization isn't necessarily a fond of. He always seems to have a huge week one. But what this team is getting in Joe Williams is a legitimate running back. Someone that's going to help establish this team for years to come. Joe Williams is a guy that by week 5 or 6, you're going to be like, someone's going to pick him up on the waiver wire, and it'll probably be your league enemy, whoever that is. In my eyes, I have multiple league enemies. I have Josh, I have Tom, I have Flyer Wire. It doesn't matter. I'm going to make sure that Joe Williams is on my team before any of these schmucks can pick him up.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tim. He's a guy that I am looking at, a guy that I am targeting in most leagues. I think he has a legit chance to overtake Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde is not the most popular man in San Francisco right now. He's not been able to stay on the field. He's been banged up every year, and I'm sure Kyle Shanahan is not trying to rely on him to lead that offense that he is trying to install in San Francisco. Joe Williams is a better fit in that scheme. Reminds me a lot of Devontae Freeman, and we saw what he was able to do with Shanahan. And I think Williams is that same type of player. He's got that speed, able to get to the outside, able to catch the football, and a better all-around fit. I love Joe Williams in San Fran this year.
My only thing is, and we've talked about this in our 49ers breakdown when we talked about it, is I'm just not 100% sure how committed he is to football overall. So that's my biggest thing with Joe Williams.
Come on.
But the thing, come on, what? He fucking retired while he was in college. He came back. I get it that he had a great end of the season. I understand. Shut up. And I think that all of your reasons, 100% correct. I get it. Carlos Hyde is not very good. That is a reason alone. So
this stroke wants to give Chad Kelly the benefit of the doubt, and he doesn't want to give Joe Williams the benefit of the doubt. Give me a break. Give me a break, Josh.
Whatever.
Go ahead. Give me
how early are you willing to draft Joe Williams? What's he getting drafted right
how
now?
How early? Tom?
Undrafted.
Undrafted?
He's undrafted?
Yeah, if you would listen to what I say, you may learn
Well, I've been in leagues that – I've been in a couple drafts now that I've seen Joe Williams getting drafted almost in the 10th round, which I think is absolutely
ridiculous.
People
are dumb.
It's too early. Like, I would look at him in the 12th or 13th in a redraft league. He's a guy – and I think you're going to have to wait a couple weeks to get some value out of him. You're going to have to be patient with this dude. Most likely have him be your running back 4 or 5, someone that you're not relying on playing right away. But I think he's going to get a chance.
All right, I'm up next. I'm going to go with one Josh Doctson, wide receiver for the Redskins.
Ugh.
And really?
Sorry.
you don't like that at all?
Natural reaction.
Sorry.
Wow.
That's anatomy.
He's getting drafted as the 64th wide receiver. He's getting drafted in the 12th round. And this is a guy that I think that has a lot of potential. And he was pretty much the consensus number one or number two wide receiver being drafted last year. He didn't play much. He was hurt a lot of the season. He only had 2 receptions on the year. But the thing is, the way I'm looking at it, there is 216 targets that have to go to someone or some sort of people. They brought in Pryor from the Browns. And the thing is, I'm not very high on Pryor. So I think the ball has to go to somebody, and I think it's going to go to the best wide receiver that I believe is on the team, and that's Josh Doctson. And I think that he could go over 1,000 yards if he is completely healthy. I think he is that talented.
In my eyes, Josh Doctson is the 4th best option as a receiver for them. They have Terrell Pryor, they have Jamison Crowder, and they have Jordan Reed. So, listen, Josh Doctson's got a lot of work ahead of him. He had a bad rookie year with all of his injuries that he was facing. Like you said, only had 2 receptions. Was never really able to see enough playing time. And on top of that, I mean, obviously at running back, they have the Rob Kelly and Samaje Perine kind of debate of who's actually going to start there. But Chris Thompson catches a lot of balls for them out of the backfield as well. So you mentioned all those targets going around. You mentioned those. He's actually potentially the 5th option for them to catch a ball. So, you know, I hope he comes along and does big things. Out of Baylor, right?
Josh TCU.
TCU, that's
TCU,
right.
Yeah.
I loved him out of college, but I don't know if he's got Cousins, you know, whipping the ball around. He's, you know, he does a great job of, you know, distributing it to multiple receivers, but I'm not as high on him as you are, Josh.
If DeSean Jackson could get 1,000 yards in this goddamn offense, Josh Doctson can as well. And he is more talented than DeSean Jackson was last year. That's all I'm going to say.
That's kind of exactly how I feel about it. Look, he was drafted in the first round, 22nd overall in the 2016 draft. So obviously the Redskins have some faith in this kid. They did let Pierre Garçon and D-Jax go. So it's kind of obvious that they're expecting Josh Doctson to be a vitally important part of that offense. And Kirk Cousins is going to probably approach 5,000 yards passing. He likes to throw the football. They got tons of weapons. And you're telling me that there's 60, like, 3 other receivers you'd rather have over Doctson? No freaking way. Doctson has crazy high upside. He's a big kid. He can go up and get the ball. Yeah, he only had 2 catches last year. One of them was for 57 fucking yards, though. That's impressive. I like this kid, and I'm impressed with him. And if you can get him in 13th, 14th round, that's an absolute steal, and it's worth that lottery ticket.
Do you remember who drafted who drafted him?
It's true.
Do you remember who drafted him?
Their
Josh?
Drunk GM.
Mm-hmm. And is he there anymore?
No.
Okay. So he's not there anymore. So I get what you're saying. They did use a high pick on him, but Scott McClellan, or what, I believe it's Scott McClellan, is no longer there. And unfortunately, the players that they have on this roster, who Kirk Cousins already seems to have a rapport with, and the talent that they brought in, that is a little bit better. I just don't see it happening.
You're a dildo. That's all I gotta say. It makes too much sense. I know you guys are a little bit higher on Pryor than I am, but
yeah.
I think Doxson is just, if I took Doxson and I put Pryor and I just lined them up next to each other, give me Doxson every single day out of the two. And I feel like Pryor was force-fed the ball when he was in Cleveland.
Show me Doxson on the field, and then maybe I'll put him up next to Pryor.
And that's a very valid argument.
Tom?
My final guy is tight end Eric Ebron, right now being drafted 132 overall, tight end number 15. I feel like everyone has almost given up on Mr. Eric Ebron. He's only 24 years old. And I feel like he's been disappointing Lions fans and fantasy believers for a long time. Last year, he finished tight end 14 in PPR while missing three games. So he had a pretty productive year. But this is the year for Eric Ebron to emerge as an elite number one tight end in fantasy. Look, last season, Anquan Boldin came in. He took tons of red zone looks away from Eric Ebron, took tons of targets away. Took 8 total touchdowns away from my guy, Eric Ebron. Now Anquan Boldin is gone, and the Lions really didn't replace him with anyone. Eric Ebron is going to get over 100 targets this year. He's going to catch over 75 balls and match his career touchdown total of 7 this year and be a top 5 option. Give me some Eric Ebron all day, baby.
I like that, Tom. I like it a lot. Ebron, you know, this is kind of a make-or-break year for him. I feel like he feels that pressure as well. He knows that, you know, he has to prove himself or he's just going to be eliminated from that offense entirely. You have a gunslinger in
Stafford.
Thank you, Matthew Stafford, who obviously likes to throw for a bunch of touchdowns. So, Eric Ebron, yeah, this is the year he's going to need at least 800 yards and 7 touchdowns in order to continue to be the starting tight end for the Detroit Lions.
I like Ebron this year. They keep talking about how they're going to try to get him the ball in different ways. And I really, with no Anquan Boldin, 8 touchdowns you said?
Yep.
There's so much opportunity. Even though they brought in 2 tight ends, there's so much
block, though.
Yeah, there's so much opportunity for Eric Ebron. And that's where... that's where I agree with you, Tom. And he's getting drafted as in what, the 11th round, 12th round, around there.
Yeah.
And it just, if you're looking for a late round flyer, I'd rather have him over OJ Howard this year in a redraft league. As much as I like OJ Howard, OJ Howard's getting picked 2 spots above him. I would look at him probably over Jack Doyle. Well, Jack Doyle and him are pretty comparable, but yeah. If you're looking for upside, Eric Ebron brings a lot of upside.
All right, Josh, you got one more left?
I do, but you can go first.
All right, I will go with another tight end, also being drafted in the 12th round. Another guy who kind of needs to prove himself a little bit. I'll go with Julius Thomas, obviously tight end for the Miami Dolphins. When he was in Denver, his 2 best years, and since then has kind of fallen off the face of the earth. When he was in Jacksonville, never lived up to the hype. Goes to Miami. He's back with Gase, who he was with in Denver, I believe. And that Miami team is ready to succeed now. They have a great running game with Jay Ajayi. They have a lot of weapons at the wide receiver, and they have a quarterback who has shown the ability to be a gunslinger. And this is the time that I think you're going to see a rejuvenated Julius Thomas. 12-3 is his rough ADP. Roughly 147 overall. I really, really like, tight end is, we've talked about it a lot through our shows here. Tight end's a very interesting position with how, who finished in the top 3 and top 5 last year. I know how kind of outside of the top 3 guys, there's not a lot there. And even the top 3 guys have injury issues and age issues. So tight end's going to be a position of flux, I think, here over the next, 1 to 3 seasons. It's going to be interesting, but I feel like Julius Thomas can be a guy that you can get late and, use as your starting tight end throughout the year.
Last 2 seasons, Julius Thomas spent under Adam Gase. He had 12 touchdowns in each year. So he's going to be definitely a boomer bust candidate for me. I'm just more worried about the amount of games he has played. He's missed like over 45%, 46% of his total games in the NFL, which is pretty scary. Yeah, you're probably going to be able to get him super late. There are a lot more tight ends who I feel more comfortable with. I'd much rather take a risk on a David Njoku, even a C.J. Fedorowicz, Cameron Brate, someone along those lines.
You would take Fedorowicz over Thomas?
I think he's safer, in all honesty.
Yeah, I think that's nuts.
Thomas, total boomer bust, and if you're taking him, he's probably going to be your second tight end you're taking.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Julius Thomas, but I, like Tim talked about, you know, there's that big possibility. He has that Gase connection. He's got all the possibility there, but I'm not a big fan of Julius Thomas, and that's all I can really say about that. But as late as you're getting him, it's such a good sleeper type player, you know. It's a boomer bust type thing, like you said, but you're taking a chance on a guy you don't know much about. He played half of a season last year, so that's where I'm kind of with that. Anything else with him? No.
Nope, that's all I got.
All right, my guy is another tight end. We're going to stick on the tight ends. I know we got a lot. Mine is going to be a change of pace here, a rookie tight end. We normally don't talk about rookies, and especially the tight end. And no, it's not O.J. Howard, Tim. I know you want to talk about O.J. Howard as my sleeper, but we are going to talk about one, Gerald Everett on the Rams. And he's being undrafted or really, really late in most drafts, according to the four-letter network. But if you take his last collegiate career season, you match it with some of the guys that finished last year, it is very close and comparable to one Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz finished number 6 last year as a fantasy tight end. And he's got pretty much the same amount of catches, about 100 yards less receiving, same amount of touchdowns. So very comparable. He's going to an offense where Lance Kendricks was the leading wide receiver last year. And Lance Kendricks had 50 receptions, 88 targets, 499 yards. Yes, that one elusive yard that Lance Kendricks did not get, and 2 touchdowns. Jared Goff is going to be the quarterback, going to be the safety blanket. He's a freakish athletic player. Being undrafted, you have to take a stab at this guy. In dynasty leagues and rookie-only drafts, I could see him flying up the boards. He could be soaring up them. But in redraft, I would consider taking him as a real, real flyer tight end, and I would consider making him a starting tight end on my team if I really, really felt that comfortable with it.
If he was the starting tight end on your team, you'd be lucky to win 5 games, sir. I like him. I'll say that. My bigger concern is with the quarterback play and what they had. This is still a team trying to find themselves, and the whole, you know, a young quarterback's best friend is a tight end. I do agree with that, but a rookie tight end that doesn't really know who he is yet, and we don't understand what he's going to be in the league, it's going to be tough for me. It's going to be tough to have him on my team. He's someone who I would watch on the waiver wire, but I don't think I would ever draft him on my team.
Yeah, Tim, I totally get what you're saying. The one reason I agree with Josh, though, and why he should be tempting, why people should be looking at him, is Sean McVay, new head coach of the Rams, former offensive coordinator for the Redskins, the man who pretty much built a whole offense around one Jordan Reed, someone that Gerald Everett compares pretty nice to, a smaller tight end, guy who moves around a lot, not that traditional blocking tight end. But Gerald Everett has all the same ability that Jordan Reed has, and I think that's the plan for what they have for Gerald Everett. They had him ranked as their number 2 tight end in this draft class. They drafted him in the 2nd round, a lot higher than a lot of people thought he would go. They are big-time believers. He's going to have every opportunity in the world to succeed with the Rams, and Jared Goff's going to be targeting this man quite a bit.
I think it's a little bit premature for you to be saying that he has all the abilities of one Jordan Reed. I feel like that's a large...
Yeah, abilities. Check out their combine stats.
Oh,
they compare
their combine stats are one thing, but
that's the ability.
what they put out on the football field is what their ability is. Jordan Reed has the ability to win your fantasy football team an entire league championship. Right now, Everett does not.
We'll see. I just like Everett. I like all of his possibilities this year. I mean, it's he's got a lot of talent, and no more Lance Kendricks there. And the only other tight end on the team that I can think of is Tyler Higbee, who, again, they did draft last year, but at the same time, you're drafting this guy this early, and you're drafting him for a reason, and you're going to go to that offense where you're basing it around your tight end.
I'm a big fan of his dad. Carl Everett? No? No, that's not him? Okay.
Anybody else with any...
Wrong guy.
I have one that I'll throw out there.
Kevin White.
Tyrell Williams, wide receiver for the Los Angeles Chargers. We talked about him a little bit last week. Obviously, they have Keenan Allen coming back. They have their draft pick Mike Williams coming in. But I still believe, you know, you don't have that success in the NFL and without some talent. So I really don't believe he's just going to fall off the face of the earth. He developed somewhat of a rapport with Phillip Rivers last year. So while I don't believe that he's going to be, you know, a solid wide receiver number two, I do think that he could potentially be a wide receiver three or a flex player.
I think Tyrell Williams' value is pretty much based on if Keenan Allen can stay healthy. In all honesty, Mike Williams is going to get his looks. He's going to get the opportunity to play a bunch. I think Hunter Henry's looks and opportunities are going to go up. If Keenan Allen can't stay healthy, Tyrell Williams will be the either number one or the number two for the LA Chargers.
Yeah, if I'm drafting Keenan Allen, where I think he's most likely getting drafted in the fourth round, I'm drafting Tyrell Williams as late as you can get him.
Oh, yeah.
And, I like Tyrell Williams. I think he could be a contributor, but I think, like you said, it does depend on Keenan Allen. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. Yeah, I think he could put up some numbers, though, especially if he's going to be the man in the slot. Who knows? He could definitely put up a good amount of yardage and a good amount of receptions as well.
Yeah, end of the 12th round, into the 13th round is where he's potentially going. Not a bad spot at all to have him. Could be a steal.
Yeah, normally I don't think it's smart to handcuff receivers. It's not really a viable strategy.
Yeah, you don't do it.
In this case, like, it makes sense, especially if you're getting Tyrell Williams 12th, 13th round, have him be your wide receiver 5 or 6. And when Keenan Allen's healthy, he's a freaking stud. And you see what receivers can do in the system with the Chargers.
Yeah, and just think again how many injuries Keenan Allen has gone down with. So getting Tyrell Williams there, and I'm not, again, a fan of handcuffing wide receivers, but it almost makes too much sense.
Yep.
Or you take him, and if that Keenan Allen owner wants him that bad, then he may trade for him. So that's what I would do. Did you guys have anything else?
Nope.
That is all I got.
The only thing that I want to talk about one last guy. All right? It's a running back. As much as I hate him, one Alvin Kamara. And I know we've talked about Christian McCaffrey before. We've talked about all of his possibilities with PPR. You think he may get 70 catches. I think Alvin Kamara has that possibility. Not 70, but getting over 40, maybe 50, 55 catches. Some of the big stats that I've written down here. Hightower last year on the team had 22 catches. John Kuhn, being a fullback, had 16 catches. Mark Ingram had 46. Tavares Cadet, who they are trying to still trade, had 40 catches. Adrian Peterson comes in. He did not have many catches last year because, again, he was hurt. But the year before, I believe he had around 36. And then he's a decent pass catcher. I don't think people give Adrian Peterson enough justice for the ability to catch the ball in the backfield. But if Alvin Kamara can come in and replace Tavares Cadet, because he is a better version of Cadet, then I think that he could theoretically pass his numbers from last year, going from 40 to possibly maybe even 45 or 50 catches. The only thing is, we got to see where he goes at with the yardage, because all these guys, they're getting 200 yards, 70 yards, 319 yards, 281 yards. That's not a lot, but when you add it all up, it's pretty decent. But if you can get those four touchdowns, some decent yardage out of it, it's looking pretty good. Plus, you got to remember that the main guy, Brandon Cooks, who had over 100 targets last year, is now no longer on the team. With only the addition of the great Ted Ginn Jr., those passes have to go to somebody, and I think maybe we even see Alvin Kamara out in the slot, out in the wide receiver aspect, and we see it go from there.
Look, we've seen players like Theo Riddick, primarily a pass-catching running back, guys like Duke Johnson, primarily a pass-catching running back, being viable in PPR leagues. We've even seen Danny Woodhead be a top 12 running back in PPR leagues. Alvin Kamara has that talent. He's in the perfect system to be a pass-catching running back who is viable in fantasy. I absolutely love Kamara. He's worth a late-round stab if you are in PPR. If you are in a normal, technically standard or X-standard, whatever the hell you want to call it now, I wouldn't be really targeting him. But in a PPR, definitely be looking at Kamara. Be paying attention in camp, how they're using him, and be paying attention in the preseason games, what the Saints are using him in.
I agree. I'm going to leave everything you guys said alone because I agree with all of it.
All right. Anything else, guys? Any last things?
Nope.
No? Nothing? All right. Cool. That's all we got for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode of our late-round sleepers, rounds 11 to 16. Again, we are Pony Kick Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter, at Pony Kick Sports, at Pony Kick Tom, at Pony Kick Tim. You guys can also hit us up on our website, ponykicksports.com. Email us, ponykicksports@gmail.com. And, yeah, check out our buddies on cleatgeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter, at cleatgeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. They do a bunch of articles. They put our podcast on there. So good things going over there. They also do the Friday Football Fix, hashtag Friday Football Fix on Twitter. They do three articles on Friday, and they put our podcast in there as well.
They also have the 12 and under Uno quarterfinals next week.
One last thing, draftingsleepers.com. Check them out. Again, they're just a social network for fantasy sports. Join them. It's completely free. Talk fantasy with other guys. Good stuff over there.
It's like a cult for people who like to draft late sleepers.
Bunch of hot chicks on there, too.
Yeah, tons of hot chicks.
Perfect episode to plug them on this one. Also, one last thing. Sleeper Wire Pro-Am. We're coming for you guys. Everybody
out there. Tire Wire 457, whoever you are, it does not matter. We will not rest. We will not sleep. We will just come into your league and take you down. It's on, bitch.
That's all we have for you guys. Until next time.